Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson producing. I learned a lot about Marquise Munson's apartment complex during the commercial break. A lot more than I care.
Maybe a little bit too much.
More than I care to know.
Yeah, that lease is coming up soon, too. I got to start renegotiating some of my decisions on where I'm living at.
Preds back on the ice tonight against the Pittsburgh Penguins, a home-and-home tonight and tomorrow. They are tied with Vancouver for the final wild card spot with 42 points, 9-3-3 since that losing streak about a month and a half ago. Pecorino has won 3 out of the last 4 games. UC Saros in there. They've got a 5-game point streak. So 2 huge games to at least keep some of the momentum going until the Winter Classic on New Year's Day, of course, which right here is your home for the Winter Classic. Of course, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Pregame at 6 tonight, putt drop at 7, and then they're back on the ice tomorrow night as well. So a huge couple of games for the Nashville Predators. But it is a football weekend because it's week 17 in the NFL, and it's the college football playoff. I'm not sure. I think this has snuck up on people. Is it just me, or has the college football playoff snuck up on you guys? Like, I know, Mark, you guys are all college football guys like me, but I just I don't think people realize that 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock tomorrow on ESPN Radio here in Nashville, 94.9 Game 2, you can hear both games. I don't think people realize that the college football playoff is coming up tomorrow.
Well, to be honest with you, I start getting invested in college football because usually the best bowl games are after Christmas. Yeah. So my mindset is always to get invested in college football a day after Christmas.
I mean, the Quick Lane Bowl really lived up to the hype yesterday.
Absolutely.
So. I did watch that, though.
Of course you did.
Because, you know.
You're a college football nerd.
Yeah, exactly. So
I have not watched a single bowl game.
Me either. I need to find out my silly underdog picks.
The Miami Hurricanes lost.
I think I won.
The Miami Hurricanes got shut out.
I think I won.
In some bowl.
I think I picked La Tech. I think.
Yeah, I think Louisiana Tech beat Miami 14-0.
I need to check that.
Manny Diaz not doing well. No, you're right, though. The bowl games start to get better sort of around this time. And I'll watch the New Year's Six. That's great. Mm-hmm. The Winter Classic, of course, is going to take precedent at 1 o'clock on New Year's Day for me. But you get the Rose Bowl later on that day and whatever. But the college football playoff tomorrow, LSU-Oklahoma, along with Clemson and Ohio State, and then you follow it up with a great Sunday of NFL action where so much is still left on the table in both the AFC and the NFC. Seeding in the NFC, the NFC East is on the table, right? The Eagles and Cowboys still vying for that. You don't know who's going to win the wild card in the AFC. Titans have to get a win over the Texans to get in. If they lose, they can still get in but need a bunch of other things to happen. It's just a great 2 days of football. And I actually like – listen, I don't like that there's a two-week break between the college football playoff semifinals tomorrow and the national championship game. It's going to be like 15 days, which is a long time.
Right.
It's going to go from the 28th to the 13th, which is crazy amount of time to prepare. But it's like the Super Bowl in that sense. But I do like that it's happening on Saturday instead of like New Year's Eve on Tuesday next week.
Yeah, they switched it, which was a good thing. I mean, I'm pretty sure there are people out there that started watching college football in the bowl games. You know, the avid, you know, rabbit football, college football fan probably sat and watched games on Christmas Day or day before Christmas Eve. But to me, it starts this weekend.
You don't know what I watched?
What?
I watched The Grinch Who Stole Christmas twice, the Pixar version, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched A Bug's Life.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. Let's see. We watched, what else did we watch? I think we got Lion King and Aladdin in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched a lot of football.
I watched
probably 6 Disney movies.
I watched a bunch of Christmas movies. I watched Greenleaf, that's on Netflix. Really good.
Greenleaf.
It's about a mega church. It's this show about an.
Is it a documentary
church.
Or is it?
No, it's just a show.
Is it like the one on HBO? The Righteous Gemstones.
No, it reminds me because it takes place in Memphis. It reminds me of. It has a Nashville, the show Nashville feel.
Oh, I got you.
But through the eyes of a black mega church in Memphis. So a bunch of drama, a bunch of stuff going on. 4 seasons is really good. And I watched Lost in Space. You need to watch that.
Okay.
Lost in Space.
All right. You mean like
the new Lost in Space?
I was going to say like the original?
Yeah. No, not the original. It's a new one. Will Rogers.
Will Robinson?
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
Will Robinson, yeah, there you go.
Danger, Will Robinson. It's good, though. You need to watch it.
I'll
really
check
good.
It out.
It's two seasons of it.
I am all locked in on college football tomorrow, though.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All locked in. I don't know how you make the case for LSU. I mean, for Oklahoma to beat LSU. For LSU to lose. I don't know how you make the case for LSU to lose. There's just not a matchup. I mean, outside of Oklahoma playing perfect mistake-free football on offense, which Jalen Hurts has not done this year, despite being a great player. He has made a ton of bad throws all season into coverage, into other people's hands. Got lucky on some dropped interceptions, made some poor decisions in the red zone this year. Listen, he's a great player. The offense is great, but you got to play perfect against LSU. I think they're going to have to keep Joe Burrow on the sideline, which is 7, 8, 9 minute drives, which is running the football slowly but surely, which is not the way Oklahoma's built to win. Their defense is better than it's been the last couple of years. I just don't see how you make the case. I mean, that was my case for Oklahoma, I guess. But otherwise, I don't see how you make the case for Oklahoma to win the game.
There's none whatsoever. You know, Oklahoma does a good job at scoring points, but, you know, I mean, they can't stop anyone. It's just the way it is. And the way that LSU has played against top-notch defenses, I can't see Oklahoma defense shutting down LSU.
Just makes me laugh hearing somebody say that.
To me, it just looks like LSU will score every time they get the ball.
Like, of all the teams that are going to stop Joe Burrow, yeah. Oklahoma's going to be the one?
We're going to say Florida, Auburn couldn't stop them.
Bama, Georgia
couldn't stop them. Oh, but Oklahoma's going to stop them. Okay.
I mean, look, crazier things have happened, but I don't see it happening.
Oh my goodness! Yeah.
I don't know how to make the case for it. All right, we've got a couple of huge decisions in the Texans and Titans game, and then one other big factoid about the Ohio State Clemson game. So we'll get to that when we come back. One huge piece of news that you need to know before watching and settling in for the nightcap tomorrow: Clemson and Ohio State, the national semifinal between the Buckeyes and the Tigers. We'll give you that and the big decisions for the Titans when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Clemson, Ohio State. As well as Titans NFL Week 17. However, Predators are recalling Colin Blackwell and Jared Tenorti from AHL Milwaukee, so expect to see those guys maybe get some ice time over the next couple of days. There's just a quick update there. Clemson and Ohio State, before we get to the Titans, there are two major decisions, obviously. One for the Texans, who are they going to play, and one for the Titans, how do they approach this game from an offensive strategy standpoint, which I think should be fairly obvious answer. However, real quickly on Clemson, Ohio State, it's very evenly matched. The reason I'm picking Clemson, Derek, is I like the experience factor pretty much across the board for Clemson. I know that they haven't played as many big games this year as Ohio State has, but they have been in this situation. They've played in playoff games every year for the last 4 years. They won the national championship last year. Their coach has been there and done that. Ryan Day is incredibly inexperienced. Justin Fields is also inexperienced in this type of setting. So I lean Clemson. They also, talent-wise, are about the same. My biggest issue, though, is Justin Fields' knee. If Justin Fields' knee is not 100% healthy, he was sacked 5 times by Wisconsin. If he is not in the Big Ten championship game, if he's not fully healthy, I like Clemson.
Yeah, I'm leaning more toward Clemson because of the experience of both the quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, and the head coach, Dabo Sweeney. You know, that receiving core they have is just as good as any in college football. You can match them up against LSU's receivers, Alabama receivers, and they can hold their own. Big, physical, fast guys, and then have a guy that's a little bit smaller, but, you know, he controls the middle of the field for them. And then Trevor Lawrence is just, I mean, he's just a transcendent talent. Defensively, you know, they haven't been tested. It's not their fault that they hadn't been tested, other than possibly one time this season. I was against North Carolina.
And what's funny is that Sam Howell, the true freshman for North Carolina, might have been the best quarterback they faced outside of maybe Bryce Perkins for Virginia in the ACC title game. So he can sling it for North Carolina, and he challenged them.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to defend, you know, 52 yards wide and 100 yards long. Ohio State makes you defend every inch of the field because of the way they run their offense. So
it's not just one go-to guy. They have a bunch of them.
It's just a bunch of guys. You never know who he's going to get the ball to. But you're right. If Justin Fields is hobbled in any way, it diminishes what they can do, you know, running the football with him.
Yeah. And both teams want to lean on their running game. Travis Etienne for Clemson and J.K. Dobbins for Ohio State are both elite-level players at their position. Both of them want to run the football with those two guys. There's just a gluttony of weapons across the table for both guys on offense. Mm-hmm. What's interesting to me is Brent Venables on defense has sort of turned into the spread buster. Like, he's figured out how to stop the spread better than almost anybody. The way he stopped Tua and those guys last year in the championship game, holding them to 14 points. I mean, they've done such a good job at beating spread teams. They beat Baker Mayfield a couple years ago I think it was the Orange Bowl, I believe, in 2015 to eventually go on and lose to Alabama. They've just figured out how to stop the spread. And so I wonder what Venable's plan is if Justin Fields is hobbled. Because Ohio State doesn't have a number one receiver. They've got like four number one receivers. Yeah. And that's sort of the way Clemson operates as well. They're just very similar teams. The only difference for me is the experience factor. Clemson has a heavy, heavy edge in the experience factor. And so we'll see what happens. Both college football playoff games, LSU-Oklahoma, 3 o'clock on Saturday, as well as Ohio State and Clemson at 7 o'clock. Both of those, of course, on ESPN Radio 94.9 Game 2 as well. I'll be doing late night, by the way, tomorrow night, doing postgame for ESPN Radio. So
cool.
Excited about that. You could tune in at like 12:30 a.m. Central Time.
I might be sleeping.
If you're into that.
I might be sleeping.
I'm just saying, if you're into that kind of thing, late night, a little late night college football talk, you know?
I keep it on my bedside. I turn it on. That's kind of weird.
I was going to say.
Yeah. Hear your voice.
The people you want to hear talking to you when you're trying to fall asleep,
yeah, exactly.
I am not the one that you want to hear.
Hey, that's Brayden.
Why is he still talking about yards per attempt? Why?
Oh,
week 17 in the NFL, so much to be discussed about this weekend. You've got three different teams still vying for the wild card spot in the AFC. Titans win and they're in. If they lose and Pittsburgh wins, Pittsburgh's in. If both of those two teams win and the Colts lose, then the Titans get in. If both the Titans and Steelers lose and the Colts win and the Raiders win, the Raiders could get in. So we still got that to be decided. There's still seeding to be decided in the AFC. The Patriots could fall out of the first round bye, which I think is more important than anybody realizes. I think for the Patriots to miss a game is a big deal for the Patriots. And the Chiefs could climb up into that 2 seed. The Chiefs could also lose, and the Texans could climb up to the 3 seed. So there's still a lot of stuff on the table for a lot of these teams. And I don't know, does it affect the way you coach if you're Bill O'Brien in this game against the Titans on Sunday?
I don't think it affects how you coach how you coach your team. They will know by half whether
they should know by kickoff.
Yeah, whether this game means a whole lot or it means very little. But again, I don't trust, and maybe he doesn't trust his team to that, you know, to that length to sit everybody. You know, because they have injuries, so they can't afford to sit everybody. You know, I think they go out there and they prepare to win the football game. And then, you know, if things are going, you know, sideways, then they may pull their quarterback. If they're down 10 points heading to the fourth quarter or something like that, they may pull a quarterback. Or if they're up, you know, they may pull, you know, Deshaun Watson and everybody.
What's really fascinating, so the two games that the Titans care the most about, Colts Jaguars, also 325, and Steelers Ravens, also 325. So the three games that the Titans would care the most about, obviously Titans Texans, are all at 325. Here's what's fascinating. Imagine going into halftime if you're Bill O'Brien and you're up by two touchdowns, and you're like, you know what? I want to bench Deshaun Watson. I want to protect him for the playoffs. I want to protect, you know, we can't move up in the standings. The Chiefs have already won. We're not going to move up to the 3 seed. We're locked into the 4 seed. But all of a sudden, they can look at the other scores. Because, again, if the Steelers are winning in a big way and you're beating the Titans, you can knock the Titans out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And hope that the Steelers, because if that's the matchup you want, right? There's so many moving parts on Sunday. If the Chiefs lose, then you can, you know, you can beat the Titans, but then you don't necessarily knock them out because if the Steelers still lose and the Titans still go. I mean, there's just so many different possibilities. I think you have to coach it like just sort of put blinders on.
Yeah, you just got to
coach the game. And the way I would do that is we're going to try hard in the first half, and my studs are out of the game in the second half.
Yeah, it all depends on what the score is. And
I don't want Deshaun Watson breathed on incorrectly.
What's going on? You know, it's they're going to be without Will Fuller, so their offense changes somewhat. You know, and then I think they're going to lean heavy on running the football. They didn't run the football particularly well last week against the Buccaneers.
They did very well against the Titans.
Yeah, they did very well against the Titans. They didn't throw the ball well against the Buccaneers, but he did against the Titans. So, you know, this matchup is always going to be one of those back and forth, close matchups because it's a divisional game. So whether you know, Houston goes into this game, you know, playing to win or playing to rest their players, it doesn't matter to the Titans. They just got to go out there. They got to figure out a way to win the game. They can't come out, you know.
Yeah, they
flat.
Can't. They
got to come out. Like they got to come out. Why like are
you
they
concerned?
Did last
why
week.
Are you? You mentioned that during the break. Why are you concerned just, about them coming out flat in Week 17?
In
a playoff
17,
game,
because obviously they're on the defense is not playing well. They're on a 2-game losing streak. They play the last 2 games. They play playoff caliber teams, and they've lost. Prior to that, I don't think any team they played was a playoff team.
They beat the Colts, the Jags. They beat the Chargers, the Bucks, the Chiefs is the only one.
The Chiefs, the only
Panthers
one.
Beat them, and they're not going to make the playoffs.
Exactly.
You're right. I mean, every one of those teams outside of the Chiefs was not since Tannehill took over.
Yeah. So they play against another playoff team, and it's just it's something. Just I'm a little worried based upon that. Their defense has
you know,
not looked. The par. They haven't.
Your spidey senses are normally very accurate, and I don't like that your spidey senses are tingling right now.
Yeah, something is just telling me.
If I'm a Titans
because
fan.
even in the Saints game, you take away those two quick hitters they had.
Oh, the big plays?
Yeah. They didn't play well in that first half. Now, the Saints defense is much better. I get it. But they didn't play too well in that first half. And then, you know, the sharp play, the two sharp touchdowns. And I know things happen in football games, and they are what they are. But this offense still just didn't look. The defense didn't play well, but the offense wasn't as fluent as the score indicates. It just wasn't. So that's what kind of – and obviously they didn't have Derrick Henry, so that could have been the problem. But,
it's a minor detail.
Yeah, just minor, small thing. Yeah. But they just didn't look. In the last 2 games, they haven't looked particularly fluent, offensively or defensively. So that's why this last game just worries me, man. And, you know, you got guys injured. You know, Adoree Jackson might not be playing. Corey Davis, concussion protocol. Khalif Raymond. More than likely, he's out.
Yeah,
it's just
it feels like
know,
a Jonnu Smith.
Jonnu Smith went out, but he came back in. So they just got some, you know, they got some injuries, man. And every team's dealing with injuries. But when you got to win to get in, you can't be having these injuries. Will hurt. They do hurt. So I'm a little worried about that. But I think they are capable of winning this game. They have they have everything in place to win this game against the Texans.
I am far more positive about how they're going to come out against the Texans on Sunday. I'll tell you why and explain a particular strategy that I will be offended, intellectually, I'll be offended if the Titans do not employ on Sunday. We'll get to that and we'll explain when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go ahead and start singing, Derek. I'd like to hear you sing this one. Go ahead. Are you gonna do it?
Isn't that heaven?
I don't know what they're saying.
It's the Gorillaz.
Yeah, this is old school. This is like for me, it would have been high school or college. Tune in to 102.5 The Game on Monday, December 30th for the 2019 Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium. Listen in as Louisville takes on Mississippi State. Coverage of the game is sponsored by Hi-Fi Buys, Houston Clinic Orthopedics, and Holly Garin's and your local GEICO agent. Tickets are available to purchase at Ticketmaster.com. I just want to read a list here real quickly because it's Friday before Week 17 of the NFL season for the Tennessee Titans. I just want to read a list here.
Please do.
Marcus Mariota, unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Ryan Tannehill, unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Derrick Henry, David Fuellen, both unrestricted free agents at the end of the year. Tajay Sharp, unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Darius Jennings, unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Anthony Firkser is a he's a different kind of free agent, but he's a free agent. Let's see here. Michael Pruitt, unrestricted free agent. Jack Conklin, unrestricted free agent. Kevin Palmfield, unrestricted free agent. Austin Johnson, unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Wesley Woodyard, Darren Bates, Kamale Correa, unrestricted free agents. Logan Ryan, LaShawn Sims, Tremaine Brock, unrestricted free agents. You get the point here.
Yeah.
There's about 18 dudes that this could be their last game in a Tennessee Titans uniform coming up on Sunday. So the motivational factor to me, if they don't show up motivated, it is beyond comprehension to me. The big one, though, Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, those two, as a backfield combination for the Tennessee Titans. Everyone feels like they're coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if there's a chance that this is the last time Derrick Henry plays in a Titans uniform, number one, why aren't you using every single ounce of him that you can? So if there is a strategy that does not employ Derrick Henry to the utmost degree on Sunday, I will question Arthur Smith's sanity. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Or am I being...
No, you're right.
I'm not trying to defame his character here. I'm just suggesting that if you don't use up Derrick Henry and everything that he's worth on Sunday in an effort to make the playoffs, I question your football sense.
Well, we've seen this team without Derrick Henry. We've seen this team with a hobbled Derrick Henry. And we've seen this team with the Mack truck Derrick Henry.
I like that one, by the way.
If they don't put that diesel gas in that Mack truck and just run it until you can't run and try to run it across country without stopping, then that's your fault. It's your fault.
Why would you not?
Yeah, that's your fault. Yeah. And if you lose the game, you can't say, you know, we should have gave the ball to him more.
And listen, I know in a perfect world, all bosses in the history of bosses would care about their employees and that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans are going to care about Derrick Henry's future.
Oh, they care about him.
They do, unless he's not on the team next year, and then they don't.
And they want to win games.
And I hate to say it, that's just the reality of life. Like, as long as he can help them, they're going to use as much as he can. And if it means something terrible happens to him, but they make the playoffs, you know, whatever, that's not their concern. Now, next year, if he signs a contract, then yeah, it's a huge part of their concern. But, again, Ryan Tannehill also has, and Teron Davenport said this earlier in the show, he's got some escalators from a yards and touchdown standpoint that if he can hit a few marks, he can actually make a bunch more money as far as bonuses go, which was baked into the contract when they got him from the Dolphins, which is genius by Robinson because it's okay to pay a guy when he delivers big numbers. I got no problems with that.
No, you're right.
So Tannehill and Henry, this should be about Derrick Henry getting 30 touches and the play-action game to Jonnu Smith and A.J. Brown. Don't overthink it.
No, you're right.
To me, on offense, on Sunday.
You have to play complementary football, and that's when the Titans are at their best. And what I mean is, you know, the running game dictates what they do from a passing standpoint. You know, Derrick Henry, 43 carries. You know, hey, that too. He's done it before in college.
Yeah, Marquise, how many carries did he have against?
Was it
against Florida in the SEC championship game that he had 55 carries?
I want to say he had something stupid.
Like
I know
54
it was over
carries.
40 carries in that game. He had like 300 yards, 200 some yards.
It was either the Auburn game. It was like the Auburn game, the Florida game, and then the playoff game where he had like 130 carries in like three games or something like that. So he can, when you need him to be that guy, he can be that guy.
No, he just needs, you know, this team needs to get on his shoulders and they need to allow him to just run the football, control the clock, beat up that not good defensive line of the Houston Texans because they're not good. That defensive line is not good.
He had 46 against Auburn.
46 against Auburn, 44 against Florida. So in back-to-back games, his final season, his junior year at Alabama.
Yeah, all over 100 carries.
He had 90 carries, 271 yards against Auburn, 189 yards against Florida. You're talking almost 500 yards on 90 carries in two games.
Yeah. Gosh. Well, I mean, he can do it.
Lean on that man.
He can do it. My math kind of messed up there.
I thought it was 100 when I first saw it, too.
But, you know, how will the hamstring hold up? That's the big question. The week off was great for him, but hamstrings are tricky. That's why you see, you know, that's why you see a guy like Will Fuller just in and out of the lineup, in and out of the lineup. Why? Because his hamstring. He's a fast guy. He's a speed guy. Right. And any little tweak, you know, throws him off. And you don't want to completely tear it. And Derrick Henry is one of those guys. You know, he's a long strider. You know, he kicks it into that third or fourth gear and he's gone. But he has speed. And, you know, all it takes is a guy, you know, pulling his jersey and him trying to get out of it. And he strained that hamstring again. So, you know, yes, you want to run him, but you don't want to, in the process, run him to where his hamstrings start bothering him again. And then you win the game and he's a no-show for the playoff.
J.J. Watt also returned to practice this week for the Texans. Mm-hmm. He's another guy I would put on the list with Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins as if you expect to accomplish anything in the playoffs, mm-hmm. you have to have them healthy for the playoffs. Can you afford to use them in this game?
Not J.J. Watt. You can't.
I wouldn't expect to see a lot of Will Fuller. He's already said Will Fuller's not going to play.
Yeah, Will Fuller's not playing.
So he's showing us that there are some – he's playing it the way Mike Vrabel played it against with Derrick Henry last week. Mm-hmm. He did not play Derrick Henry against the Saints because he wanted him healthy for this week.
Well, you can't, again, with Will Fuller, that hamstring, you can't even chance it. J.J. Watt, I think you just get him ready to play next week.
That's what I would do,
too. Don't play this week. You know,
what's
he's
the
practicing,
point?
Yeah, you're already in the playoffs, so you play him and hope you practice him in hopes that he play during the playoffs.
Watch him play like five plays this weekend, and like two of them will be like
sacks.
Strip sack fumbles or a knockdown interception.
That bet not. If that happens, they're losing the Titans.
He's going to play like five games or five plays.
So ultimately, what's on the line, fellas. Sixth seed in the AFC. Bill's already in it, so hey, they're good. They're chilling, waiting on somebody to, you know, throw interceptions for Josh Allen. So the Titans can clinch if they win against the Texans. We all know that. Now, if the Titans lose and the Steelers lose, then the Titans can still make it in. If the Colts lose.
Yeah, damn Colts.
So, but here's the weird. Here's the crazy one, because the Raiders,
Raiders
needed a lot. Now, I'm going to go back to last week. The Raiders last week needed the Steelers to lose, which they did to the Jets.
Check.
They needed the Colts to beat the Panthers,
check.
Which they did. They needed the Browns to lose one of their last two, which they lost. They needed the Titans to lose to the Saints,
check.
Which they lost. And they obviously got to win games, and they beat the Chargers. So this week, the Raiders, here's their chances. They got to hope that Chicago, Detroit, the Chargers, or New England wins. So one of those four teams.
I don't even understand why that's a factor.
I don't either. The Raiders, obviously, they got to win against the Broncos, which, you know, Drew Lock, you know, we'll see what Drew Lock we get. Steelers have to lose to the Ravens. The Titans have to lose to the Texans. And the Colts have to win against the Jaguars.
Because the Colts are what screws the Titans. If the Titans and Colts are
again.
Tied in any way, shape, or form, and we went through this on Monday, if the Titans and Colts are tied in a two-way, three-way, four-way, five-way tie, the Colts will, unfortunately, remove the Titans from the equation. Now, Dallas can win the East with a Philly loss and a Cowboys win. If the Eagles win, they play the Giants, who, by the way, Daniel Jones is back throwing dimes. If the Eagles lose, Cowboys win. Eagles win the NFC East. The 49ers play the Seahawks.
Uh-huh.
And if the 49ers, who are the one seed right now, set for home field advantage throughout the entire NFC playoffs, if they lose to Seattle and Green Bay beats Detroit, Green Bay is the one seed. You could go from the one seed to the five seed in one game. Can you imagine putting in that much work, 16 weeks, 15 games, to get to week 17, and you lose to your arch rival? Not only do you lose the division, you go from a one seed to a five seed?
Got to play the first week, and you don't get home field advantage throughout.
Or
you
ever.
Not even, you don't get one game unless teams end up losing.
Now, the good story there is you'd be going to Philly or Dallas.
Yeah.
So you feel good about the matchup, but
exactly. Not
every year are you that lucky.
And the Chiefs are still in play for a number two seed,
right.
Because all they got to do is beat the Chargers and hope that the Patriots lose to the Dolphins, because the Chiefs have that tiebreaker against New England. So
the Chiefs could also be the two or the four.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They could go as high as the two with the Patriots loss and a Chiefs win. They could go as low as the four if they lose and then the Texans beat the Titans.
Yeah, basically. So
it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
Mind blowing, people.
Here's what I think. I think the Titans are going to win. I think the Titans are going to win because Derrick Henry's going to get the football 30 times. 27 carries, 3 receptions. 3 receptions for 19 yards, okay? But 27 carries, they're going to ride him, and the Deshaun Watson doesn't play in the second half. That's my prediction.
I can go along with that.
He's going to play the first half, not the second half. And Derrick Henry just runs away in the second half, and the Titans win. And they make the playoffs as the sixth seed.
But I can also see
Kansas City, here we come.
The Titans coming out flat and just not
who do you blame
the game
if they come out flat
winning the game at the end, you know, toward the end.
Who do you put that on?
You gotta put it on the head coach. You do. That lands right at the feet of the head coach. Nobody else. I mean,
like the players hold some responsibility.
Yeah, there's some blame with the players. There is. Because to me, I've never understood. I've always said it doesn't take for the head coach to get me up to play a game. I'm getting up to play the game because I love it and I enjoy going out there competing.
Like, you want
to
make the playoffs?
Yeah. I don't need the head coach to give me some. If I never saw the head coach that whole week, doesn't mean I'm not going to go out there and perform, you know. But we all know. Perception is reality, and the perception would be Vrabel didn't get his guys ready. Whereas that's probably far from the truth. Yep. It would probably be far from the truth.
Yeah, like what could he do differently this week that's gonna lead to them coming out flat?
Absolutely. Other than him, short of him, you know, giving them the week off.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing.
You guys didn't do any work this week at all.
Absolutely.
So. You just ate ham and turkey and prime rib and got fat.
You know, came to practice and watched television, you know.
Like you, just watch a bunch of Christmas movies.
Yeah, watch a bunch of Christmas movies.
All right, see, I'm taking the Titans. You got the Titans?
I got the Titans, yeah. I do got the Titans. But, I mean, there's still a little bit of me that's saying they're going to come out flat.
Well, the rug,
I got the Titans.
Titans fans know the rug gets yanked out plenty of times.
Charlie Brown.
Yeah. Munson, you got the Titans? How you feeling?
Yeah, I got the Titans. I think every scenario will play out for the Raiders with the exception of the Titans. That'll be the only one that doesn't play out. And then John Gruden's going to be kicking themselves because they lost to the Titans in a pretty bad fashion at home.
Yeah. Well, no. With the Jet game, too.
Yeah they lost 34-3 to the Jets is the one you go, why did that happen?
Yeah, both of those.
But 8-8 is probably better than anybody anticipated for the Oakland Raiders and the strategy that they employed to build the team to where are today. So you got to kind of step back and say, all right, maybe John Gruden's doing something right.
You know what?
I don't want to do that, but I'll try.
He did all right, man. And that stadium looks pretty cool so far.
Yeah, well, in Vegas, that thing is sick. No
looks
question.
Like a little vacuum.
No, it's a little vacuum. No question. All right. When we return, the big finish, final predictions on this week. Feels like a Monday, but it's a Friday when we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN 1025 The Game. Huge Titans-Texans game coming up this weekend. College football playoff games, of course, you can hear on 94.9 Game 2. Coming up tomorrow, 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock, 2 Preds games against Pittsburgh. Huge ones tonight and tomorrow, just huge across the board. Also, a huge finish to the show, also known as the Big Finish or the Daily Rewind. Let's rewind it back, Munson. Good Friday morning, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Nashville. My name is Braden Gall, Derek Mason, Marquise Munson, back in the saddle for at least a couple of days here before the New Year's holiday. I do not have relaxing times yet with children. Our job is essentially, Marquise, to rile them up as much as humanly possible and then try to put them to bed on Christmas Eve so they can come down and see all the fun stuff that Santa delivered to them. That is one of the first times I've tried to do that because my daughter is now old enough to understand all of that stuff. And getting her riled up at like 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve to then try to put her to bed is going to be like sort of Oklahoma's defense trying to stop Joe Burrow.
You hate to see it, man. I have no kids. So guess what I got to do? I got to drink bourbon, eat Christmas cookies, and watch Home Alone 2 repeatedly on Christmas Day.
As they get older, they want less things. And then they tell you specifically what they want.
But don't those things get more expensive?
Not at times. No, but here's the thing.
I need a computer.
No, but here's the thing. You got time to, you know, kind of get everything together and then purchase it. Yeah. And then two, you just don't have to run around like, what does man want? You're trying to figure out everything because they tell you, dad, mom, this is what we want.
My mom just bought stuff from my apartment now. And she's like, here's a belt bag of towels. I'm like, yeah, thank you, Mom. I appreciate that. Here's a shower curtain. I'm like, yeah, thank you. I did need it, you know. But
you were showering without a curtain this whole time?
I got a curtain, but my mom believes in this thing of like rotating the curtains.
Mama came to visit and said, we need this.
He needs this. Why does boy still get these rags? These things, like,
I'm like, Mom, I just bought those rags like 3 months ago. No, you got to rotate them.
Josh Ward from WNML joining us here.
I think for Jeremy Pruitt and what he's been able to do over the last five games, the last month and a half of the season or so, I think really it helped with the goodwill that he was trying to create with Tennessee's fan base. It helped get him back maybe in that area after how the season had started. I think if Tennessee's able to get a win, it absolutely helps. You can say, okay, six straight wins to close out the season. That's a positive. You can try to go sell that on the recruiting trail and see if that helps you in some kind of way. If Tennessee loses, I don't think it says too much. And then also, I don't use bowl games very often to determine much of what will happen in the next season. The guys who have gotten Tennessee to this point largely are going to be leaving after this game. So I think you kind of reset the conversation and you talk about the players who are next in line to lead the way to see what they can do next year for Tennessee.
Teron Davenport joining us here. Teron, hope the holiday season treated you well, my friend. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing well, man. As long as that instrumental played, I was about to say, now I can't sleep. I saw some turn candlesticks in the dark, but then the body's being burned.
Listen, you and Crispy need to go on tour together. Both of you guys could. You guys need to be on the same ticket.
Vrabel has that mentality, that understanding that the best way to go into a hostile environment that isn't your home environment is run the football, man. You know, go in there, punch them in the face first, and continue punching them. And that's what you do when you have a guy like Derrick Henry. So by all means, you know, he's someone that has to come up big for them. He's someone they have to rely on. I also, though, Tannehill. I think Tannehill gets it done. And he has a lot of money on the line, too, just as far as bonuses are concerned. You know, he gets three more passing touchdowns. It's like another 500,000. I mean, there's all types of stuff. 200 yards passing, that's another 250,000 or so. So he has a lot of escalators in his contract that he can cash in on by having a big day. But, you know, I think between the two of them, just like how it's been in the six wins that they've had, I think between the two of them that they're going to come up big, and that's going to be the ticket for the Titans to go to the playoffs.
Oklahoma hasn't seen an offense like this. Their defense. And they struggle with the offenses
and,
that they face.
Yeah, and their defense isn't anywhere close to all those defenses you just rattled off.
So they have to put together a Nebraska 1994-ish black shirt type of defensive effort, you know.
Why is that going to happen, though?
When Nebraska was just shutting everybody down.
How is that going to happen against Joe Burrow, the most perfect Heisman Trophy candidate in the history of Heisman Trophy? Do you see him knocking down jump shots to win a basketball competition?
What can't this guy do?
He probably makes better gumbo than Orgeron does. I'll take Clemson. I don't know where you guys are going. Sounds like you're with me there.
Yeah, I'm Clemson.
Munson?
I'm Clemson.
So that means Ohio State's going to win. We all win. We're all on the Tiger.
If I don't pick Clemson, Davo's going to probably talk about it. You know, there's some guys in Nashville that don't think we can win.
Right.
You know, they down us.
He's got the rabbit ears, man. He's like, the rest of y'all, man, they don't even want us in the dadgum field.
It's like
it's the dadgummest thing I ever seen.
This is the dadgummest thing. They don't think we can win this game.
Terry Crisp joining us here.
Sometimes, you know what it is, as coaches and as fans, we have to realize that they feel as bad. No, they feel worse than we do when they're hitting this. And maybe they try overtry. Maybe they're trying to do it. You have too many lone rangers out there. You have guys saying, I'm going to put this team on my shoulders, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to this and that. One of the few guys that can do that during the games we've seen is Yosi. He can put them on, go end-to-end or whatever the heck. But the rest of the guys, they put a system in place. And I don't care who you are, your best player there or your fourth line, whatever it is. The system is there for a reason. The coaches practice it for a reason. And once you get back to it, once it sinks into everybody's head that everybody has a job to do out there, game in and game out, whether you're playing 22 minutes or whether you're playing 2 minutes, your job is to get that job done.
Love that 1 o'clock on a New Year's Day start. That means mimosas, and my daughter gets to watch the game.
Oh.
Are you mimosas or Bloody Mary guy?
I'm mimosas. If I do drink one of the
Bloody
other,
Mary's
it's mimosas.
Disgusting.
Pinkies up, boys. Pinkies up.
Bloody Mary.
You guys don't
love
Bloody Marys?
No.
Well, that's just your personal taste. I can think a Bloody Mary tastes delicious.
No. I smell it, too. It's just like,
I just look at it.
Oh, my God, I love it.
No, I'm not. Bloody Mary, no, I'm not. No, I'm not taking it. Here, I'm going to push it to you. Braden.
All right, pinkies up, boys. Pinkies up. Pour your champagne.
Give me a mimosa. Give me a mimosa.
Nice mimosa.
Give me a mimosa.
You want a little shamberry? Yeah. You want a little raspberry in your mimosa? There you have it. I don't know what we did on the show today. We got a lot of football to talk about.
Whatever we did a lot of it, and it was good.
Yes, and none of it involved Marquise's apartment, which is a terrifying place.
Dang, hey, I wish
my contract expires January.
You're an unrestricted free agent.
I'm an unrestricted free agent, so.
Oh, man. All right, I got the Titans. You got the Titans. Yep. Muncy's got the Titans. We're all on Clemson, so, of course, none of that's going to happen. It means that everything opposite will take place.
We walk back in here Monday and none of that happened.
Preds got a home and home tonight and tomorrow with Pittsburgh, so huge sports weekend. Everybody have a safe and wonderful weekend. Thanks for listening. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson producing. This has been Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Bailey, DJ Nashville. Stay safe, stay warm, and I love you.